last time on Oz Hour.
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, we are with a Captain Bill and Tort or Fort. Fuck, I don't remember his name. Her name. I'm sorry. Her. She's just a little baby, and they are. What are they doing? Oh my god! Now I'm all confused. They go into a cave and a whirlpool gets them. We're not talking about anything that happened before that because that's the story. And then they get dragged into this place, like this weird cave thing where there's like weird lights and stuff. And then there's this, I'm sorry, this hole in the wall. And they're like, or Captain's like, we're not going in that hole. And Tort's like, what else are we going to do? And so... So then, what do they do? Oh, yeah, then the creepy monster guy. Well, he's not creepy, but he seems creepy at first. I can't even describe him to you because it's too much. But his name is... Fuck, what's his name? Oh, Flipper! His name's Flipper. We know that because of dolphins. But he does not look like a dolphin, so do not get it confused. And they decide to go into the hole, and then they go there, then they're on a cliff, and then he flies, or Flipper rides them, or flies them down, and brings them to another spot, and then they do their thing, and they're there now. The end.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 53 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be continuing with Book 9, The Scarecrow of Oz, covering chapters 4 through 6.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone.
And why is Wang?
And joining us is our resident Oz initiate, the beautiful Hannah Aguirre.
Bum boy.
Oh.
Oh.
I don't actually know what that could possibly be.
I was trying to think of this one song and it could not enter my brain. And so then when you came to me, I was like, well, I wanted to do that song, but I don't know how it goes. So I just.
So you chose random sounds?
So she said, oh,
Bumble.
Oh, that's
yeah, I'm going to hold my head a little high. Come on, right?
Oh,
Bumble. Yeah. I don't even know what you guys are doing.
No, he's doing
it. No.
I'm in a high.
What song is that? The Queen song, right?
No.
Oh.
We are all thinking of three different songs.
That is so funny. Listeners, please write in with what you thought any of those songs were.
Yeah.
Hannah, that took you 1 minute and 38 seconds. It was rough, though. Because like,
it was short.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah. Skinny.
You chose a few names to go with.
So first of all, just to clarify for our listeners. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Okay. This is just it.
So L. Frank Baum is introducing Captain... I'm sorry.
Is it not Captain Bill?
No, it is.
No, it is Captain Bill.
Okay.
But it's not Tort and whatever the fuck. Fork?
Fork.
No, that, yeah.
I kind of liked Tort because it's so close, but it's also just a different word.
It actually rolled off the tongue really well.
Captain Bill and Trot are our main
Trot. Yeah.
They are being introduced to the Oz U. We got a foreword at the beginning of the book letting us know that the readers really wanted Captain Bill and Trot in Oz. So here we go.
Yeah.
Also, I noticed you did skip that Captain Bill caught a lot of fish with hours of effort, or caught a fish with a lot of hours of effort.
Oh, that's right.
Which is like not super important. The orc whose name is Flipper.
Yeah. To me, the idea that you remembered Flipper and the reason you said was because of dolphins.
It says his name one time, and it's him telling a story of something that his dad said to him. So like the fact that you remembered Flipper is crazy. But we do call him. We're going to be calling him the orc. That's all I got, Wyatt.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. I mean, the only other thing that's, I don't know if it's important, but there were mermaids who ferried them all to safety underwater.
Yeah,
we didn't see them, but we were just told about them.
Imagine playing mermaids there.
I know. Well, they do. They do have mermaids there.
It's a little scary. Well, if I could breathe.
No, it would just be like having monsters on the earth. I mean, you know, relatively.
Monsters on the earth with
us. Yes. Okay. But yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, B minus, Hannah. Would you agree?
I think we could have. I mean, C? I'd say B minus. Okay. Okay. C? No, B minus. That's okay. Fine.
Wow.
Don't get too cocky.
Yeah.
That's at least a 3.0. Yeah,
we're trying to start high this season.
Speaking of high, before we started recording, Wyatt went ahead and whipped up some cocktails. So tell us about what we're drinking tonight, baby.
Yeah. Tonight we are drinking Pessim's Potion. This is a blueberry lavender syrup with a blueberry infused vodka, a little soda water. It should taste and smell like lavender, and it's purple, and we'll understand why later. Recipe at Oz Hour Podcast.
Shall we slurp?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Chapter 4. Daylight at last.
So...
Importantly, I will say, where we actually should have left off in last time on is that they go into another tunnel. It's super dark in there, and they don't want to burn their candles, so they've been walking in the dark for, like, hours.
Yeah, they finally decided it must be bedtime, because I believe Bill's clock said it was 9?
It said it was 9, and Everyone was tired. So, like, and then he was like, okay, sure.
It's either 9 a.m., it's 9 p.m., who knows?
Yeah.
But, who cares? So they lay down to go to sleep, because they're tired. Yeah, when last we read, the orc had woken Captain Bill up, and he's like, it must be another day, wake up.
Captain, and it's 9 o'clock again.
It's 9 o'clock again.
Or maybe it's still 9 o'clock.
Oh my God, how crazy would that be? Purgatory.
Oh yeah.
It's over the garden wall. But Captain Bill, like, rubs his eyes, lights a match, he looks at his wristwatch, and it's 9 a.m., 9 p.m., who knows? The orc is like, well, unless this tunnel is different from literally every other fucking thing on this planet, it's going to have an end, right? So let's just keep on walking. We must be getting close.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully. And so they do. And they start walking, and, like, they're walking for, I don't know, not that long, really, it doesn't seem like, but...
And it's still just dark.
Yeah, they're in pitch black. Maybe, I like to imagine, maybe...
The way I would not be able to do that.
And so here's the thing, God. Reminder, the system, because we're reserving candles, I think they're using a candle every now and again.
They went through 3 candles early, like, on their way here, to the part where they fell asleep, And they only had, like, a few more to go.
The orc is flying forward in the darkness, just flying slowly to kind of figure out
No, he's walking.
Oh, he's walking. Yeah. He's ahead of them,
I think. He's ahead of them, because if there's a drop-off again, he'll fall, and then he'll
That's
just fly.
Right. Yeah, so
and
he's then leading, he'll yell. He's leading the way, Captain Bill and Trot holding hands behind him. That's
also
how they're doing things.
What if in
okay,
their sleep...
they're thinking.
What if while they were sleeping, they all rolled around, and then they couldn't remember which way they had gone and which way they came from?
Stop.
And they would have no way of knowing.
Oh,
stop.
My... Well, feet...
Oh, maybe footprints. Maybe
they would have to have. They would have to have.
Oh my God! Like, by candlelight, oh God, they're no, looking like for their own footprints.
Captain Bill would have to sleep with his head facing, or no, the orc could sleep with his head facing the way they need to go, and then Trot and Captain Bill can sleep like perpendicular to his feet.
Like, I know how unlikely it is, but I would be like, we're all gonna roll around. We're gonna wake up in different positions. And we'll be like, well, which one of us is right?
Well, you
then?
Know, I feel like they have a system because they already have a system for how they're walking.
That's true,
exactly.
Yeah. Honestly, they could set the candles up in the shape of an arrow facing the right way.
I don't think they're going to become like...
That's not a bad idea either.
So they just barely start out on the day's journey, and moments in, the orc stops and he's like, wow!
Yeah, and we don't even know he stops. He actually just makes this sound, and then his wings are flapping, his tail, his little propeller tail is buzzing, and...
But he's in the same location, so he must have stopped.
Yeah, well, and Captain Bill stop, and they're like, whoa, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, give me a candle, because, like, I think this is the end of the tunnel.
Like a wall?
So, interesting you say that. So, they light the candle, and they see that they have come to a rock wall. So you're right. Yeah. Which is crazy. That's not what I was expecting when I was reading it.
Oh,
I
really?
Thought that it was going to be like, I don't know, like another tunnel or something. Mm. But they're at a wall. And then it's kind of like, it's kind of describes it weirdly in the book. But like what I understand is that it basically like goes, it's a wall, but then it also just like there's another tunnel to the left and they follow that. And there's a tunnel to the right and they follow that. Is that it?
I'm thinking it's like an optical illusion where like, there's wall close to you on the left. There's wall a little bit further away from you on the right. And you can go behind the wall on the left. You know what I mean?
Okay.
because it looks like a dead end, but then after further inspection, they realize, oh, we can go this way.
Yeah. Okay. Like a little hidden pathway.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so giving me claustrophobia.
It's giving me claustrophobia. Yeah. And oh also, my God. Like, the orc being like, this must be the end. Big if true. Because don't forget, we just woke up. Oh like, God. We just woke up.
It's been like
they went to sleep right next to this wall.
Which, isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah,
like,
kind of weird.
Yeah.
And they just have...
They could have just kept going.
What's going on? Where are we? I thought we were reading the Wizard of Oz book.
The Wizard of Wire?
We haven't heard of him in a minute.
Thank God.
So they start to go through. They follow. It's this really narrow path, speaking of your claustrophobia. And until it, like Wyatt said, it shoots off to the right again. And finally, the orc is like, okay, let's blow out the candle because we've struck daylight.
And they blow it out, and there is indeed a glow. And they're like, what's that? And they turn another corner, and it's just this huge, like, dazzling beam of daylight just, like, shooting down on them.
Quick question.
Yeah.
When they were in that one, like, cliff area, did they fly down?
They flew did. Down. They flew down farther. But they'd already climbed up so far.
So they've been walking upwards.
They were walking straight, and then they came to a drop-off cliff, and then they had to fly down where there was a lake, and then go to the left to keep going.
And was that going up?
I think
it was just flat again.
Oh, really? I assumed it was up just because
now they're in
it
daylight.
Would have to be.
Well, they're in daylight, but the daylight is coming from miles and miles and miles above them.
Not miles, I don't think.
It seems like
I mean,
hopeless.
Doesn't daylight always come? Or I see what you mean. Like it. There's a little speck of it.
They are in the pit of a well. And they are seeing daylight from up above.
Oh, okay. This is making much more sense now. Yeah.
They're not out yet.
And Trot and Cap and Bill are like, oh, well, fuck. We're trapped forever here. Like, we're trapped forever. That's so far. Like, we could never climb out of here, basically.
Yeah, how are you going to
like, I'm thinking, like, you know.
Yeah.
Stories.
They just kind of stare at it for a while. And then finally, the orc's like, whew. Well, God. That was a really rough journey, but hey, at least we made it to the end.
Well, they can fly up it.
Yeah. Yeah. Trot's like, can you fly us out of here? And he's like, I'm not some normal feathered bird. Like, I have a mechanical tail. So,
and
like,
here's the thing. It's narrow like a chimney. So, like, their concern for, like, this enormous bird to be able to navigate it. It seems difficult, but he's like... I'm a fucking orc.
Yeah.
So the plan...
That doesn't mean anything to me.
The plan... I know. That's the thing. We just met you. The plan is for Trot to climb up on the orc's back, which you remember when they went down the cliff, they went one by one. So there's only room for one of them on the orc's back.
Yeah.
And then... So Trot gets on the orc's back, and then the plan is for Cap'n Bill to grab onto the orc's back legs, because if you recall, the orc has four legs.
Okay.
Cap'n Bill holding onto orc's back legs. Trot on the back of the orc. Orc flying straight up because he's got a propeller ass.
Yeah. So he's giving like rocket ship. Like, <Yeah.
laughs> that's kind of scary.
It's horrifying. Trot is hanging on for dear life because they're going straight up. Cap'n Bill, think about this. The orc is bumping into things as he goes. Fortunately, the propeller keeps him going up.
Yeah, the propeller just keeps spinning.
If the orc is bumping into the walls, what the fuck is Cap'n Bill doing?
I was thinking the same
thing.
That's
what I'm like, you have that good of a grip? Well, I'm scared of my grip.
I need to hold on to one leg. And
I would need to be tied in.
Well,
I would need to be tied in. But there's no way. I'm not doing it unless you have something to keep me secure.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Before they even like took off, Cap'n Bill is like he's like, okay, like I'll try this, but like if I can only hold on for so long, so like you're gonna have to be pretty quick. And the orc is like, yeah, okay. So then they fucking go, and it's a rough ride. Like everybody gets a little beat up, but he keeps up his speed. And it was a pretty far flight, but it went pretty quick also, since they were terrified.
Okay, so they made it.
They did it shockingly quickly.
Good.
Cap'n Bill, when they get up there, does not land very gracefully. He kind of like drops off the orc. He rolls. He only has the one leg, you know.
Yeah.
So like his wooden leg isn't catching him the way that his other leg is. So he rolls, but he's fine. It's a really gentle landing other than that. Cap'n Bill gets up. He looks around. And he's like, sort of pretty here.
And the orc agrees that the earth is beautiful, but he's also like, well, where are we though? Because this doesn't really make sense.
Earth is pretty, but where on the earth are we?
Yeah. Is that what the orc is asking?
Yes. Yeah. So they look around. They see lots of trees, shrubs, flowers, like lush green grass. It's gorgeous. I want to run through there. There aren't any homes, paths, roads, no sign of civilization. They're like in a forest somewhere. And the orc says that before they landed, he caught a glimpse of the ocean.
So he hops back in the air and he starts flying over to this like little hilltop. And then the friends follow on foot and they join him at the top of the hill. And from there they can see like they're looking straight and it is just ocean waves all the way out to the horizon. Same thing on the left, same thing on the right. And then behind them, there's a forest. So they can't see the other side, but they're like, okay, like over there, maybe it's more land or maybe it's just an ocean. And maybe we're on an island again.
Ocean left, right, and center, but they don't know what's on the other side. Captain Bill is like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
And Trot's like, well, if we're on an island, we're trapped. Yeah. And they do agree, though, that even if they're in prison on an island, it's much better than those underground caverns.
Yeah. So
at least they're seeing daylight. Yeah. At least they're back on the world.
You can get food up here, probably.
And water, too. Because down in the cave, they were like, it's ocean water. Where there's no water down here.
Yeah.
Like, that's disgusting.
The orc then says that he agrees with Trot that about her being happier about being on the top of the world, because he says they should be thankful that they escaped, because anything above ground is better than the best thing underground. And I'm wondering if we're gonna get like a gnome tie-in here.
Like, I don't know,
it's very anti-underground for a moment, and I was like,
that is true. When I read that, I thought it was a strange thing to say, but I was like, also, yeah, like I would agree with that. Like,
I'd rather be on top.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, I mean, unless I need to be in a bunker. Well,
I'm going to keep my mind and heart open. That's all. It doesn't have to, I don't need you to say anything.
Don't do this.
I want to live a life with a little wand.
This is not your audition tape.
Sorry. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. We're doing that right after this. So Captain Bill's like, hey, let's explore this fucking place. Because Trot is like, I'm starving. So just like you said, is there food up here on the ground?
Also, quick question.
Yeah.
If it's possible, why doesn't the orc fly them to somewhere?
Well, he did carry them both, I guess, just now.
But it could be super fucking far.
Yeah, I think worth investigating this place before deciding to do that.
Yeah,
and that's true.
That's true.
I think they should see what's here. At least if they can at least find a fucking armadillo to massacre.
And who knows? Maybe it's not an island.
Yeah, maybe it's not an island. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. There's a whole forest.
How we're moving. So over to the left, there's a grouping of trees, and it looks like it could be cherry trees. So they're walking over to these trees, check them out, and they have to pass over a bunch of like tangled vines. And Captain Bill, he's basically one-legged, you know, he hobbles. He catches, he trips, okay? Mr.
Sorry.
He trips down for a reason. But he catches on one of the vines. He falls down, face plants on the ground.
Not hurt at all, though.
He's fine.
Yeah.
But it does say he lands on his face.
Yeah.
Owie.
So Trot is like looking down at these plants that caused Captain Bill to fall. And she's like, oh my God, those are melons.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So there's maybe some food, but
we like melons.
Who knows if they're poison, though?
Oh.
But Captain Bill pulls out his jackknife and he opens it up and he's like, hey, like, let me taste it. He does. It tastes good. He waits a minute.
He rises to his foot and pulls out his jackknife.
Oh, I didn't know he rose to his foot.
The book actually says rises to his foot.
Oh.
Okay, we get it. He has
He's
foot.
Basically one-legged because
I'm just
he's
saying
hobbling.
I'm not the bad guy here.
You're just the messenger.
As you were.
But anyway, yeah. So it looks good, though. So he lets Trot have some. And they eat a bunch of melon. The orc is like, doesn't really want to try it, but then like he tastes it and he's like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. And so they're all eating. And there's so many melons, they feel pretty good about not starving. And they also, the melons are made of water, so they can't go thirsty either. So they're feasting, And then they find cherry trees and plum trees and a ton of like nut trees, like almonds and fucking maybe not pistachios.
Walnuts, yeah. Chestnuts.
So they're like, okay, like we can stay here for a while. If we need.
Literally like, everything around them
what's
is edible.
The rent?
Yeah.
Seriously, can we go there? Chocolate factory in this place. So they decide to walk through the forest, see what's on the other side. Are we on an island? What's going on? The orc's feet, if you recall, his feet are killing him. He's like, I'm not used to walking. I fly.
Oh, yeah, they're
I'm
the little, like, claw things.
Yeah. So his feet are killing him from the walk through the cavern. So he's like, hey, y'all, I'm going to fly up above the forest. I'll meet you on the other side. So Cap'n Bill and Trot, they walk through the forest. It's not a big forest. It takes about 15 minutes of walking.
Yeah, it's quick.
They come out on the other side. To the shore of the ocean.
Yeah. Okay. So island. It's an island. Yeah. They're getting into the island life. And Cap'n Bill is like, oh, it's a pretty island. And he's like trying not to freak out in front of Trot.
He's trying to keep a brave face for the baby.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, like, you know, the worst case scenario, like there's all these trees. I could build a raft or a boat and like we can sail away. And then at this point, I think it's Trot, but one of them is like, where's the orc? Because the orc isn't over here where we were expecting it to be.
It took them 15 minutes to walk. How long would it take the orc to propel there?
Yeah, it should have been waiting. No. So they start to look around, and Trot screams because she sees something.
Oh my God.
Cap'n Bill, is that a house?
It's a house. But she doesn't sound
Why
like that probably. No,
she's probably
she
like,
exclaims she's probably like, at least
Captain Bell, is that a house?
What?
Why?
She's a baby.
No, she's not.
But Captain Bell's like, it's not much of a house, but it's definitely a building because it's not, it's like shed like it's small.
Okay. Yeah, it's tiny.
So they decide that they're gonna go up and see if anyone's home.
Yeah, and that is the end of chapter 4, Daylight at Last. And Blake, what would you call that?
From Pit to Paradise.
You know, they told me in the beginning that it would be daylight, and I still didn't.
Yeah,
I was
you
still
were,
surprised.
You were freaking out in the tunnel. You were like, "We're not getting out."
They're like, dead.
But if they're out, is the door upstairs?
Chapter 5, The Little Old Man on the Island.
So they walk a short way to the shed, which is basically just like a little hut that you would build on the beach with your friends. You know, it's like branch, log.
It doesn't even have like four walls. It's like three walls and the fourth one is open.
Yeah, open face
so
front.
It's kind of like, think on Survivor when they build a shelter.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Hey, ho. No, we're not doing that again.
But they get there and there's a little old man with a pointed beard sitting there and like he's looking, he's just inside of it looking out at the sea because it faces the ocean.
Yeah. They stop in front of his hut. And they're like getting ready to be like, hey, good morning, or like, who the fuck?
You know, do something like, what would you say to him, Hannah? If you were there, what would you say to this man?
I'd be like, help!
Get out of the way, please.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. That's what you would say after what's happened to you. You'd be like, there's a beast! The beast dead flies!
So, I didn't know that you were going to scream.
Oh, my God.
I was going to cut you off the way that the little man cut them off. But he says, get out of the way, please. Can't you see that you're obstructing my view?
Oh.
Yeah, so he, yeah.
Captain yeah, he Bell, wouldn't be able to interrupt yeah. me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be grabbing him.
Don't you see what's wrong? Captain Bill does not like it when people say, get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's trying to keep his composure, and he's like, good morning.
Yeah. he's like, okay, like, I'm just gonna, like, because he knows, like, he's like, I have to be nice to this man, because, like,
we
he's
need
our
help.
Only
we
hope.
Need help.
Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, but literally, he was like, good morning, and this man is like, well, actually, being pestered by a crowd is not part of a good morning for me.
Oh.
Yeah, and
has that ever happened to you before? Because you're on an island.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you wonder.
Trot is shocked. She has never been spoken to this way before. Cap'n Bill is getting
because she's 2 years
visibly,
old.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, I don't buy that papa. me when I take a shot. But Captain Bill is getting visibly pissed off. He's about to let his sailor out.
Yeah.
And okay, so we haven't really been using Captain Bill's speech this far.
I didn't even want to cover this.
It's important to mention here because Captain Bill's exact words in response to this man are you the only one that lives on this here island? That's how it's written in the book.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Red Dead.
Yeah, so anytime you hear him, that's how he talks.
But the little man, he's like, your grammar's bad, but this is my own exclusive island, and I'll thank you to get off as soon as possible. And Trot's like, that's actually exactly what we want to do.
Yeah.
Or actually, he's like, Google Gaga.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And actually, since we covered the Captain Bill one, every time Trot is talking, it's like, go, ba,
it's
ba,
a
ba,
baby.
Ba. Yeah.
It's
like,
baby.
But we get it.
How Dorothy understands Toto, Captain Bill understands Trot.
Yeah. Except that, you know,
Toto speaks
English.
<That's right.
laughs> Oh,
bow
wow.
Yeah. Anyway, though.
Yeah, so Trot is like, dude, we want to get off this island.
And then they just walk away.
Yeah.
They don't even talk to him anymore. They're like, yeah, we would like to do that.
But
and they walk away. Yeah.
Oh,
and they just ignore him. They're acting like he's not following them. And they're just like looking around the island trying to like see what else is there. And they get to the shore. And from there, they're like looking out. Captain Bill has like sailor's eyes. And there's nothing. Like they can't see land anywhere. Not even like the impression of land.
Where the fuck is Orc?
Where
that's a great question.
Because
after they saw the little man, after they saw this little man, there was no thought of Orc anymore. Like, I guess it's kind of a big thing to discover, but then they didn't come back to where's Orc. They just said, oh, now there's a man.
Yeah, I would be like, why is this man following us and also where's Orc?
Yeah, I'd be like, this is connected.
Very important questions.
But so they go out to the end of the beach. They look out, Trot and Captain Bill, and they're just like not seeing land anywhere. It's just water as far as they can see. And Captain Bill's like, well, Trot, like, and remember, they're ignoring the little man behind them. And he's like, well, Trot, I think we're just going to have to be here until we can figure something out. But it's not such a bad place to be.
Well, actually, the little man breaks in. And
oh
he's like,
gosh.
Well, the trees are actually too green and the rocks are too hard and the sand is too greeny. The water's too wet and the sun shines all day, but then it disappears right when it gets dark when you actually need it. And it sucks here.
So
and
like
actually no one should
I've
live
ever heard of
exactly.
In my entire life.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
guy is like, if you stay on this island, as long as I've stayed on this island, you'll realize that it fucking sucks because everything is as it is basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
Trot.
We definitely the same thing every single day.
Yeah, but you can make it what you will. Yes. He can make his own little calendar,
that's
make
true.
Little events.
But he just chooses to fucking hate it. And Trot turns around in response to this and she looks at this man very seriously and she says, who the fuck are you?
No. What she actually says...
Oh, I wish she did.
She looks at this guy and she says, I wonder who you are. And...
I wonder who you are.
No. Okay, no. She just says, I wonder who you are.
He's like, I'm Pessim the Observer. And Trot's like, what do you observe? And he's like, everything I see.
Yeah. But suddenly, he exclaims and he yells out, because he sees there's a footprint in the sand and he's like, oh my God, someone pushed in the earth here. And Trot is like, it's pushed in. It's a footprint, but it's not like going to hurt someone. Like, what are you talking about?
So I was like, okay. Let's look at it this way. Wouldn't you agree that if the earth was pushed in a mile, that would be calamity? And Trot's like, yeah, if the earth was pushed in a mile, that probably wouldn't be very good.
Yeah, but it's not.
Well, actually, Hannah, a full inch is 1/12 of a foot, and a foot is about a millionth, and it's also a millionth part of a mile, so this footprint is actually 1/1,000,000th of a calamity.
Yeah. And he starts...
I'll kill him.
Sorry. I
gotta get rid of him. I can't be on an island with
him. He's gotta go.
Can't be on an island with this man.
So Captain Bill basically is like, hey, let's try to forget about all this. Like, let's just not
do
this.
Just put some dirt on it.
This guy is a flibberty gibbet, let me tell you.
Whoa. You don't just call people that.
But it's starting to rain, though. All of a sudden, they hear a pitter-patter. The sand, like they see little dots appearing on it. The water is getting little speckles. And Captain Bill is like, okay, like, let's go back to that shelter. So they start walking back. Like, they're just going at this point. Like, they're like, we're using that shelter. Okay. But Pessim is freaking out about the rain. He's losing his shit.
Literally camping.
Yeah.
Like, literally, Captain Bill is like, hey, how about this? I'm a bit of an observer myself, and I observe that we need to get back to that shed. So why don't we just keep walking and stop freaking the fuck out? They finally make it back there. As they're getting there, Pessim is like, hey, will you take my umbrella down and hold it over the fish? Because they're going to get all wet. He just finds some. He's a flibbertigibbet. He finds something wrong with everything.
Yeah.
Captain Bill and Trot are like, let's just kind of stop communicating with this guy as much as we can, I think, is kind of their attitude moving forward.
That's how I feel about some people I work with.
Yeah, exactly. That.
I'm like, oh, so we will never be having conversations again.
And Shania from Hannah's work, she's talking about you.
Oh, my God.
But suddenly, a bumblebee starts buzzing around Pessim's head, and he's freaking out. He's like, a bumblebee! Yeah. A bumblebee!
Probably the only thing I could agree with him on.
But he's saying, the queerest bumblebee I've ever seen.
Why? Why? Is it a rainbow bumblebee?
Oh, that would be so cute.
I would actually really like to
see that.
That'd
be sick.
Yeah.
Well,
this is a queer bumblebee.
Pride Month, we need rainbow bumblebees or else the bees aren't with us.
What the hell?
You're right. It's not inclusive if we don't have pride bumblebees.
Pride includes bumblebees.
Yeah. If I don't see rainbow bees next Pride, the bees are dead.
Yeah.
this is a C2A.
It's not a threat, it's a warning.
So everybody get on it.
Yeah. Well, that I wish that's what we saw. But actually, they all look at this thing and it's going and it's going all around. And Trot yells out, oh my God, it's a tiny little orc.
Oh my God, this is not a visual medium, but if y'all could have seen her face.
I was gooped.
I saw the 12 stages of grief.
God.
I was like, wait, what's a little orc doing here? Oh, that's our orc.
Okay, it's funny you say that because this orc lands on Trot's shoulder and a very small voice is like, it's me, like, and I'm totally fucked.
Wait.
No. Now he's fucked.
And Trot's like, wait, you're our orc?
Like, the one we know? And he's like, I'm actually my own orc. I'm myself, but I am the one that you know. And Captain Bill is like, what happened? Because to reiterate, he is the size of a bumblebee. Like, I imagine being the size of a ping pong ball.
Tiny.
That's
smaller.
Terrifying.
I struggle with bees.
Oh, well, it does say he's bigger than a bee.
There's
though.
Some things later that I'll explain.
Okay,
but
ping
that
pong
make
ball.
Me wonder. So ball. I think ping pong ball. But he's just perched there. And Captain Bill is like, what happened? And they all lean in to listen. And here's his tale. He flew over the forest. He's flying. And he sees a bush. And he's like, well, what the fuck is on that bush? It's berries. They're like the size of gooseberries, and they're the color of lavender. Maybe close to the size and color of a blueberry, let's say. And he was like, those look really good. I'm going to go eat one. So he goes and eats one. And the minute he eats it, he shrinks down to his current size. And then he panicked.
So they can't eat.
It's giving me, drink me.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, I know. It's not the first time the offering bomb has done this.
That is the first time.
But he's panicking, and he's like, oh, my God, like, I am now the size of a bee, and now I have to fly over this whole island? Because when I'm that small, it's a lot harder to get around.
Yeah.
So he's been searching for them. He's tiny.
The fact that he even found them today is insane to me.
Yeah, he was buzzing.
Yeah, seriously.
And also, like, when you're that small, it's like,
oh my God.
Breeze happens.
What if a crow got him? What if a crow?
He could die at any minute.
Oh my God. And he has the brain of a human.
So Captain Bill and Trot feel terrible for the orc, and they have obviously no idea what to do. And Pessim starts cracking up laughing at this story. He's choking.
Oh, I'll
He's
kill
rolling
him.
On the floor with tears in his eyes.
I'll actually kill him, I think.
And yeah. Trot is literally like, is something funny, bro? And Passam is like, oh my God, this is almost too good to be true because the same thing happened to me.
And at this point, we all lose our minds, right?
Like, I just can't hear another word from him. I really can't.
So Trot is like, what are you talking about? She's like, how did you even
He's
get
like
to this island?
He's like one of those annoying kids in high school that like always has to like one up you with how horrible
Literally.
Their life is.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Trot does, though, ask how he even got there, which I'm like, can we ask about how he got back to his regular size?
And That's true.
How we got there? Why is the focus your life story?
That's literally in my notes. As I was writing that note, I was like, oh my God, like, what if he was huge before? What if he used to be a giant and now he's here?
Yeah.
Which I would struggle with that for
and
some reason.
And that's
reasons,
why he hates the island so much.
Okay, well. We're about to learn why he hates the island so much.
Okay.
Because Passam did not come to the island. Passam was brought to the island by the neighbors.
In chains. No, it doesn't say that.
It's like, what year is
against
it?
Against his will.
But yeah, they force him there. Like, they basically, like...
I'm picturing he was asleep in his house at night, and they came and took him. And took
Who's
him to the
they?
Island. The neighbors.
So his neighbor. So imagine he lived in some little neighborhood somewhere, but he just kept telling everybody what was wrong and what was right and what could be wrong and what he thought about this. And it was always
bad. He was
bad.
Just being really pessimistic
with
everyone.
Everyone was upset. And so he was like, or they were like, you're going to the island and we're going to drop you off here.
Yeah, I might agree with the neighbors.
So does Cap'n Bill. And he says it. And he's like, well, they did the right
thing.
Good
for them.
Yeah.
Also, L. Frank Baum was literally trying to coin the phrase pessimistic. Like, he said, I'm going to write an Aesop's fable. I'm going to name this guy Pessim. And maybe enough people will read this book so that everyone says, oh, pessimistic. Yeah, it comes from the L. Frank Baum book.
Oh my God, that's so stupid.
I mean, why else would he do that? Passam continues to explain that once he discovered that he was the king of the island, he could eat all of the fruit that he wanted. He went around la-di-da-di-da. He tasted all of the fruit, and one day he ate a lavender berry, just like the orc did. And he shrunk down to smaller than 2 inches tall.
Yeah. And... he said it was so scary and so dangerous.
He was this way for days.
Yeah, he wandered in fear, in agony, just like, oh my God, like a gull. Like he would like run from a little rock to another clump of dirt and the gulls would swoop down and try and fucking eat him.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like when it would rain, he would drown.
At that size, he's frog food.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was something else. A tree toad. Yeah. It said a tree toad almost ate him. Like, he basically just, for days, he is scrambling, fighting fucking bugs, trying to, like, just, like, survive. And then he gets to the point where he's, like, he just gives up.
Yeah, he reaches, like, a King Pastoria level of depression where he just wants to end it all.
He's, like, his existence isn't worth it. He's on this island alone. Nothing is good. So he's, like, I'm just going to eat another one of those lavender berries, and I'm going to shrink away to nothing at all. And my question is, what if he actually just got smaller and was the size of a bacteria? And then what if he ate more, and then he was the size of a cell? Or, yeah, a cell after that.
Yeah, where would you,
like,
if he kept eating
what if
them,
he became,
you
like,
keep going?
You'd
he would
become
get,
like a
he
neutrino.
Would get so small that he wouldn't even have the brain capacity to go get more berries.
Oh, God.
He would just start over
you're right.
Evolution.
Ah, no. Sorry, oh, my God. Because, like, it's, you're right. At some point, it's like all the cells in, well, but no, it, all the cells in his brain become tiny. And, like, all his cells
Does
become
he at
smaller.
All get small?
If I got too small. I climb to the top of a blade of grass and drop.
You'd be like a feather. You'd get caught in the wind and you'd just be like, whoa, no, whoa.
Maybe I hit a tree trunk.
Just jump in the ocean.
I'm just having like imagery of someone climbing like, to the top of grass and jumping off.
Yeah.
So, finally, he goes to find another lavender berry. He finally finds a tree that looks like it has it. the fruit, it's like a little darker. It's like a more deeper purple instead of a light lavender. But he's like, that is the same berry.
Yeah.
He's not tall enough to reach the fruit. So he literally has to sit around and wait for the breeze to knock one down.
Yeah. Which also, a falling berry could kill him. Yeah. Like, I was seeing
that too. Anything can squish you.
Well, maybe.
One of them could have fucking did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it could have, even if it didn't even if it didn't crush him, it could have landed on his head and killed him.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. Okay, yeah. You're right. So, he's waiting and then finally one gets knocked down. And so he takes it. He takes what he thinks will be his final last glimpse of his living world and he eats some of the berry and he just waits. But he doesn't wait long cuz all of a sudden he's fucking shooting back up to normal size. Like he's growing and growing and he eventually became back to the size that he is today.
He does not eat the lavender berries anymore. He's noticed that no other living creature on the island eats his berries.
That's why they're there.
The orc is like, "So you think the deep purple berry is the antidote?" And Pessim's like, "Fucking yes, dude, obviously."
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what did you just watch happen? Like, were you here the whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's my story is about how those are the fucking antidote.
Yeah, and you almost just did the same thing already, half of it. So you would think you'd believe it.
I'm up
that.
Here, you're down there. Yeah. Of course, it was the fucking antidote.
But I will just plug and say that is why our cocktail today is Pessim's Potion.
I do really like
it.
That.
Is the blueberry lavender?
Well, mine's almost gone, and my belly's already three times the size it was when I began.
Woo! Skinny.
And
it was supposed to shrink it.
Wait. So the orc is begging Pessim. He's like, "Can you please get me back to my normal size? Where's the plant? Like, show me to the plant." And Pessim looks at the orc and he's like, "You're kind of a freaky looking thing. Like, if I made you bigger, you could be dangerous."
Which, like, I kind of agree with. Like, Pessim doesn't know these people. Now he's like, "You're a literal monster, and now you want to become bigger than me?" Totally. Like, I don't know.
And, like, how big does that thing get? Is that thing Sawhorse size, or is that thing Hank size? You know? But Trot is like, no. This is our dude. Like, this is our guy. Like, please show him the plant.
So he does. He's begrudging about it, but he's like, whatever, fine.
Yeah, like, he's like,
yeah,
fine.
So he leads them to the east side of the island, unknown which side that is versus where we were earlier, but that's all you need to know. And Cap'n Bill, or they get to the tree, and Cap'n Bill reaches up, he grabs one of these berries, it's very ripe looking, and the orc like flies onto the ground, and Cap'n Bill can't really bend over, so Trot has to take the berry, and she's like giving it to the orc, and he's like, "This thing is the size of my head." He's like, "I can't eat this."
Trot is like, "Take bites, idiot."
Yeah. She's like, "Just take a bite. Eat it like you'd eat anything."
Swallow it.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, "Is that how you did the first one?"
You didn't do that. God.
So he starts to eat it and he starts to grow a little bit and then a little more. And then he's like, can eat the whole berry. Like, pretty soon he's like, "Oh, this berry's bite size." So he finishes the berry and then he's just ballooned up back to his normal size.
But the orc is like, "So what do you think of me now?" And Pessim's like, "You're skinny and remarkably ugly." And the orc is like, "Dude, I look way better than a feathered bird." We're going back into old school L. Frank Baum.
Yeah.
It's like this or that or that or this. And finally, we decide that, like, everyone sucks. We just all need to survive, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like everyone just lives your lives. But... True. Captain Bill says that even alive or dead, Pessim isn't worth very much.
Yeah. Pessim is like, "I'm the king of this fucking island.
Oh.
So if you don't like me, just like everybody else, you can go away and I'll just be by myself because nobody likes me."
Okay.
That was my Pessim impression.
We need to bring a therapist to the island immediately.
Yeah. I mean, if you take me in a boat and drop me off on an island, tell me I'm a bit too much, I'm probably going to have a complex.
Yeah. That's true.
But Trot's like, "Okay, here's the thing, dude. The orc can fly. We can't fly. We don't want to be here, but we have to be here." Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know where to go.
How about this? Leave us.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's no option. And Pessim knows it. He's just being a dick.
He's being annoying.
Pessim is like, "Go back into the hole." But and they hate yeah. it. They're like, yeah. no, we're not like, fucking what? Going
You're
in the hole.
Not
they're like,
doing
fuck
that.
You,
yeah.
fuck you.
Yeah. yeah.
And they go crazy.
It's 3-1 right now.
And yeah. Oh my god, the orc gets in Pessim's face, and he's like, "You may be king, but we're three.
We're stronger.
You're one. So let's go back to your shed and let's make a happy home for all of us."
Yes.
Yeah. And Pessim hates this, but then they all go back to his hut. So it doesn't really matter.
He lost.
That's right, bitch. Yeah.
And so like along the way, like they gather up leaves, they make little beds for Cap'n Bill and for Trot. And there's like a hammock that that Pessim sleeps in. But they eat fruit, they eat nuts, like they don't have to worry about anything. They sleep, they
How
rest.
How long are they there, Wyatt?
3 days of just like resting and recuperating and like getting nourished. So I'm like, okay, they had a little tropical vacation.
It sounds nice.
Sleepover.
Right. But Pessim there.
But they were not happy.
Pessim is constantly complaining about them. Pessim is constantly complaining about the island. And it didn't take Trot long to understand why the fuck his former neighbors marooned him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's the morning of the fourth day, and the orc has an idea. And so far, the only thing they've really thought of is like, okay, build a raft, build a boat. But like, they don't have an axe. Like, they just have a knife. And they're like, we can't cut down trees with a knife. So like, they're and like, obviously, there's ways to get there. But they're like, what are our best, like, first options?
Finally, on the fourth day, Trot is like, orc, just fly away. Like, you can go. We're literally stuck here. Like, you can go. Go find help and send them back. And the orc is like, no, I'm loyal. I'm not going without you guys.
Yeah.
It's like,
he
cool.
He doesn't want to lose them.
It's cool, but it's also like, boy, get the fuck out there and yeah. find us some help.
Well, yeah. the thing is, he left home and couldn't make it find his way back. How is he going to leave here and
good
find his
point.
Way back?
Good
yeah,
point.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah,
good
he
point.
Has a
I thought
PTSD.
The same thing. Yeah. No, it's like, he will never see them again. So it's very like, yeah.
Finally, the orc is just like, all right, I'm going to fly away. But you two have to agree to fly with me on my back. And Captain Bill is like, dude, I'm a grown-ass man, and that's a baby. You can't carry us.
Yeah, like, it's a long ride. Like, it's not going to work. And yeah. the orc is like, well, let me tell you what you can do. You can eat some lavender berries,
oh.
and you'll be tiny, tiny, tiny babies,
just bring the berries
and I'll
with you.
Just carry you. So, Hannah, you're a genius tonight. You need to drink some more alcohol or
oh
something,
because
what are you doing?
I don't know.
Because Captain Bill is like, hey, like, we're going to be tiny. Like, I don't want to be tiny the rest of my life. Like, you're going to carry me across the ocean, and then I'll be tiny forever, and I don't actually want to do that. And the orc is like, bring purple berries with you.
Yeah.
Just eat them on the other side.
It's
so
that easy.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah.
Trot's
girl,
like,
you've been going to school. Yeah. You've been doing night classes.
Maybe.
Just her GED.
Certified by H.M. Wagabug.
Yeah. I've been taking the pill.
Education my way. Take the pill. Try it for yourself.
Take the pill.
She walked away to eat.
But Trot is very on board, and she's like, that's a great idea, Bill. Let's do it. So Captain Bill thinks about it for a bit. He can't come up with any problems with the plan. So
except for he's scared. That's yeah, his big thing. He's
exactly.
like, this is scary.
He didn't
like,
want to go in the
yeah,
dark hole.
What if he drops you and
yeah,
you're in
yeah.
the ocean?
Literally,
that brings us to our first guest trivia, Hannah. If they were 2 inches tall and they fell from 7,000 feet. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
I was like, they would die.
Yeah. True or false? Oh my God.
But he thinks about it for a bit. He can't come up with any problems. And he's like, okay, orc, like, we'll shrink ourselves down, but how are you going to carry us? And the orc's like, I don't know, paper bag or something.
Where did he learn paper bag? They taught him candle like 4 days
yeah,
ago.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
He knows about paper bags.
God, maybe that's what the orcs do. Maybe
also,
that's
like,
their whole
sorry,
thing.
We're on an island. We're not at Target.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah,
they're
okay,
not
next time we go for groceries,
or
we'll take paper.
Can you get
and
me
save
a
it?
Same day delivery of like a fucking 200 pack of paper bags?
Literally, I was going to say, but you would never
can
do
I
same day because you don't need that many. Yeah, one paper bag, please.
So Trot points out to the orc that they don't have a paper bag. And the orc's like, well, your sunbonnet's hollow in the middle with two strings. That could be tied around my neck. So they use the bonnet instead of a paper bag. She takes off her bonnet.
How closed is this bonnet gonna be?
So I mean, it's like, remember how big they used to be? It's not gonna be closed.
But the thing is,
I need it closed. No oxygen.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. Honestly, the like, think about like back when we used to make masks during the pandemic out of our t-shirts. Like when I would put that thing around my neck, it would kind of clench shut.
Yeah, it would like curl shut. The other thing too, when we're thinking bonnet, like I imagine having like some kind of like underwire, but she made this herself probably. It's probably just like a hood. It's like cloth. No, so maybe she could
like
just
a
like
little
have a string.
Debbie ass bonnet. It's oh, like is the there? Same bonnet that Dorothy wears.
Then I do not know how this works.
Well, there's illustrations, yeah, in the book throughout the entire thing. We should look back.
Okay.
So Trot takes off her bonnet. She ties it around the orc's neck, and they're like, and she like looks at it and she's like, yeah, this is gonna work. Cap'n Bill doesn't love the idea because it's obviously super dangerous. Trot thinks it's dangerous too, but the risk of getting hurt is far worth getting away from Pessim.
Yeah.
So without a word to Pessim, they're just like, let's go find some lavender berries. Like, let's get going. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So they get to the east side of the island where the orc is bringing them to the lavender berries, and they pick two of those. And so they're like, okay, cool. Like, that's enough to make us tiny. Then they go over to the dark purple berries, and Cap'n Bill takes four of them. Because he's like, okay, that way, like, we have two to eat, and if those don't work, we have backups. And the orc is like, take six, like, just in case.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, fill your basket.
Take as many, like, there's room in the bonnet for you two. The rest should be berries.
You never know if you might need more.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And just, yeah, just why not? Maybe they're just good, too. Maybe you think they're really tasty.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you ate too much, I guess. But right. But we don't know. Maybe they only bring you back to your normal size. We don't know yet.
Right.
So
after collecting all of the berries that they need, they go back to Pessim Shed to say goodbye. And they only say goodbye to him because they need his help to actually, like, tie the bonnet back around the orc's neck.
Yeah, because they're like, Cap'n Bill's like, I don't want to be nice to this man, but like, we do need his opposable thumbs.
Need a little, yeah.
Climb into that bonnet, and it needs to get on you. So
it needs to be sealed tight.
Yeah. Yes. So they're like, oh, bye, Pessim. Like, and he's like, I'm fucking glad you're leaving, but I'm also sad to be left alone.
Oh,
and Cap'n Bill is like, yeah, I kind of thought you might not be happy with either way. And
yeah.
Pessim's like, yeah, like, and you know what? So it doesn't matter. I'm going to be unhappy either way. So, like, let's just, like, get you out of here.
So they're like, I don't want to get attached.
Yeah. They're like, you're going to tie us? He's like, yeah, I'll tie you. But he's also like, you will fall out of this bonnet and you will be dashed upon the rocks below.
Stop.
But have fun. Good riddance.
Yeah.
Basically.
And he's like, you'll drown or you'll be crushed. Like one or the other.
This doesn't really scare Trot, but Cap'n Bill doesn't love it.
Yeah, I'd be shaking.
So yeah. Trot eats her berry first. She sinks down to a tiny size.
So little.
Even more,
like,
baby.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like this. It's like this.
Can we get volume up on that? But yeah, so Trot falls into the sunbonnet. Cap'n Bill, he shrinks himself down. He gets into the sunbonnet.
I will just mention, it specifically says his wooden leg and all. So I'm like, okay, that's good. That'd be horrible if it was just his body.
Stayed big.
But then I'm like, but everybody's clothes are shrinking down. So like, why wouldn't his actual more part of his body, wooden leg? Also,
that is actually crazy.
His
how the
pockets
everything.
Are filled with shit too. But you know what it means? It means that the magic doesn't work by it like going into your stomach.
In your bloodstream.
Yeah, like it must be like when the berry is eaten, the charm activates around you. Yeah. Like, but what if they were holding something? Yeah. I don't know.
It would shrink.
It doesn't make any sense, but Elfric Bomb's
magic
never has.
You're
magic,
right.
Magic, magic.
It just won't make sense.
So Cap'n Bill, like, climbs over the sunbonnet. There's a little bit of a struggle.
But he trips again.
Pessim loves this. He cracks up laughing.
Of course he does. Yeah.
And he picks up the bonnet. He doesn't mean to do this, but he does shake them around quite a bit.
Oh, my God.
I think.
What do you mean he doesn't mean to?
There's a, I think, so there's, he doesn't put any care into it. So he's just like, pick up the bonnet, tie it around the neck, and they're like, ah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, but remember, there's people in here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, is it on purpose? No. Would it have cost him anything to remember that he's dealing with human lives? No.
He should have thought of it and done something different. But yeah, but he wasn't trying to be malevolent. He was just being, like, dangerously
malevolent.
Malevolent.
But he ties him around the orc's neck, and Cap'n Bill says that he hopes to trot so this bonnet up well.
The baby made that herself.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, yeah, it'll hold. Yeah, and I'm like, they must weigh nothing. So.
They weigh nothing. Yeah. So Cap'n Bill points out that one of the antidote berries, the dark purple ones, has already been crushed. So now they're down to five.
Okay.
It's fine. Yeah. They, so in a perfect world, they only need two.
Yes.
The orc asks they're ready. They tell him they are. Passam leans over the bonnet just to whisper down to them that they will either be smashed or drowned. But he's like, bye.
And then someone like grabs a little drawstring on the orc, goes, and the propeller starts up. It blows Passam over head over heels because the orc is like, dude, you fucking suck. Yeah. Like,
Hank kicks, orc spins.
Yeah. And Passam goes rolling for like 8 to 10 feet before he like stops. And by the time he sits up, the friends are just flying high up over the ocean. Probably not into the sunset, but I'm imagining sunset.
Okay.
But it's the middle of the day.
Giving chitty chitty bang bang for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Chitty chitty bang bang. Chitty chitty bang bang.
We love you. And.
And unbelievably, that is the end of chapter 5, The Little Old Man on the Island. And Blake, what would you call that?
Very pessimistic.
Very.
I like that.
Chapter 6. The Flight of the Midgets.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. We're going to get there.
What?
She said. Oh, okay.
We'll get there.
I didn't think about that.
Cap'n Bill and Trot are having a pretty comfortable ride in the sun bonnet. They're so light that the orc is just flying smoothly. He's using almost no effort.
Yeah.
That said, they cannot wait to land because they're very high up in the sky over the ocean and the fear of falling is real.
Yeah,
like, I'd be fucking shaking.
Yeah, it's not like, at least it's not bumpy. It's not like there's turbulence. Yeah, you'd be screaming. But it's not bad though. Like, they're just kind of humming along. And you know, they're both basically just like sitting there in this like, you know, kind of light filtered, semi dark like bonnet interior, and they're like, we are so tiny. Like, we're little. Like, we're so small.
Me after
it's
the gym.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Me after a salad.
And they're like, oh my God, like if we were like in a circus, people would be coming to see how tiny we were.
Yeah,
like,
they would. They could charge.
But being up here in the sky, sitting in a sunbonnet, there's no word in the Booktionary to describe what they are.
No fun.
Yeah.
Not fun at all.
But it's at this time that Trot declares that they are midgets. That's all.
That's all.
And I wouldn't, in any other L. Frank Baum book, for instance, I wouldn't even reference this, but because it's the name of the chapter, that is where it comes in. And that's the only reason we even hear it. But that being said, it is time for our guest game for tonight. It is a little trivia moment. Oh, so, God. Hannah, define midget.
Don't make me.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Don't make me do it. Don't make me define a midget.
No.
Oh, man.
No. No, just kidding.
Hannah Aguirre found dead in an alley.
Yeah, no. Obviously, that is not something we want to do ad lib. And it's just, it's interesting because, like, midget as a word is like widely known to be offensive now, right? Like, yes. We all know that.
We are using the language of the book.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And like everyone would agree it's offensive. Like, it's a way to refer to people of, like, smaller stature, like some people with dwarfism, whatever. But we don't say that now. But the word originated in, like, the 1800s in, like, some, like, novels and writing. It wasn't offensive. It was just a way to describe people at the time. But then, like, in the mid-1800s, it became, like, a carnival thing, like, where, like, Barnum and Bailey and P.T. Barnum would be like, hey, these are our, like, carnival midgets or our circus midgets.
See the bearded lady.
Yeah.
The tattoo man.
Yeah.
The werewolf. And the M-word.
The midgets. Yeah. So, like, it was just common entertainment, and even back then, like, wasn't derogatory, but obviously, like, people in those professions, like, they were being looked at and, like, you know, treated as something other than humans. But the guest trivia tonight, Hannah, is who is commonly thought to be the most famous circus midget?
I have multiple choice.
Oh, yeah.
My God. I was like, fucking, I don't
Try
know.
To start thinking of any name.
If
any
I may, name. When Wyatt texted me this question earlier, I was like, is it this? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I just knew that.
Yeah. And we're going to hopefully understand why you knew this.
I'm going to explain.
Maybe I'll know it.
You might. So, again, who's commonly thought to be the most famous circus midget? Our options are A, Queen Sweet Pea from Barnum and Bailey. B, General Tom Thumb from P.T. Barnum. C, Madame Minnie from Ringling Brothers. Or D, Commodore Nut from P.T. Barnum.
Are these all real people?
I'll tell you that later.
Oh, okay. Let's say, because honestly, I have no fucking clue. So I'm just going to say C, because I like that one. The little mini, Queen Minnie or whatever.
D was Commodore Nut.
Oh, wait, who's
C is Madame Minnie.
Yeah, that's what I want.
That's what she said.
Okay. Final answer?
Final answer. Damn it.
So the correct answer was General Tom Thumb from P.T. Barnum, otherwise known by his actual human name as Charles Sherwood Stratton. He is most commonly known to be the most famous circus performer of small stature.
I knew that.
Okay.
Blake did know that. I will say, I will just say, Commodore Nut is an actual other famous actor or circus midget. And then the other two I made up because I just wanted some women's names. So I was like, okay. Queen Sweet Pea, Madame Minnie.
Did you feel
it dirty? Felt wrong.
They
it
were
felt
so
wrong.
Cute is a thing.
I they know. Like, really, I wanted to make them feel
sweet.
They're
fake. They went from cute to like, ooh.
I had to think of put my marketing hat on. I was anyway.
So here's the thing. I knew that Tom Thumb was the most famous little person in the circus act because I used to take my acting career much more seriously than I do now. And back in 2017, I auditioned for a role in a film called The Greatest Showman. And I did an entire audition. I spent an entire day working on this audition. I took
it so
seriously.
You don't understand how much I would have wanted to fucking see you in that.
Oh, but dear.
Wait.
There wasn't a world where they would have ever hired me to play General Tom Thumb. Because that's the role I was auditioning for, was Tom Thumb. And I'd never made the connection. I know those words, Tom Thumb. I know that's a little man. I never made the connection. I spent an entire afternoon with my buddy recording an audition for The Greatest Showman to audition for the role of Tom Thumb. It did not say in the character breakdown anywhere that he was supposed to be a little person.
You know, imagine they're reviewing, like, they're like, okay, we have one more tape for Tom Thumb. We have some really good talent, so let's see what this is like. And then it's you, and you're like, Blake Stone auditioning for the role of Tom Thumb.
Oh my God. Who was the General Tom Thumb?
An actual little person who did a great job. I don't know the actor's name. But
Oh my god. So imagine
then, Christmas Day.
You would have been like Hugh Grant.
Christmas
in
Day,
Willy Wonka.
My friend and I. Christmas Day, my friend and I say we're gonna go see the premiere of what's that show?
Greatest Showman.
The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
We go, and I'm like having a bad attitude. I'm like, I didn't even get called
they didn't
back
even call
for this.
Me. Oh my god.
They should have called the police.
Yeah, they should have, I think.
There is no reason for me to say anything more except that I walked into that movie theater with a bad attitude and I walked out humbled.
Yeah, it was a humility. Oh my god.
Oh my god. I can't believe I didn't know that story.
I had forgotten, but Blake made an allusion to it earlier when we were talking, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, so I'll find out on the podcast, which is obviously ideal, but I remembered while I was drinking some cider just now, and yeah. I was like, oh my god, that's right.
That's so
I auditioned for The Greatest Showman, General Tom Thumb. I was not chosen, but I think I did good.
Yeah.
We'll find the videos.
Yeah.
So yeah, Trot says that they're midgets. They're flying on for a long time. Eventually, the swaying of the sunbonnet around the orc's neck makes Bill doze off.
Yeah. And it's very gentle.
Trot, terrified, stays wide awake. She's starting to get antsy. And she's like, hey, orc, do you see land? Because she's in a bonnet. She can't see shit.
Yeah.
Except for the
covered.
Orc's neck.
That's probably the best thing for you, though.
Right? She's like, are you seeing land yet? And the orc is like, I don't see land in any direction. I'm just going to keep flying straight and we'll find something. My question is...
Does the orc get tired?
He's got a propeller.
Oh, so...
He doesn't even have to really flap his wings.
It must use some energy, but, like, he can go for a long time.
Okay,
like,
I bet he could worried.
Fly. Because, like, seabirds can, like... I mean, granted, they glide on the breeze, but they can fly for, like, days sometimes. And worst case scenario, they could sit in the ocean for... Could his propeller be used underwater? If they were in the water right now, could it go...
Like a boat.
Well, that's probably how he... Because he was under the water for 10 minutes.
That's right.
He probably would have died if he didn't have that propeller.
Oh,
yeah.
True.
That's crazy, actually. Okay.
But I'm wondering, if he doesn't see land in any direction, where did those neighbors who put past him on the island come from?
Maybe
how did they get there? Maybe they had a boat.
Yeah, that would be kind of crazy. But
it would be really crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe his, well, it wouldn't make sense. Maybe his neighbors were mermaids, but that doesn't make sense.
They keep flying on. Captain Bill snoozing. Trot trying to remember her geography lesson so she can try to, like, figure out where the fuck they are.
Yeah, and to no avail.
After several more hours. Captain Bill, still snoring. Trot's like, well, I'd better just lay down, too. She puts her head on his shoulder. She's trying to get some rest. She closes her eyes. Suddenly, the orc is like, land ho! Land ho!
Yep. And
okay.
So they rise up and they're trying to peek out of the bonnet, but they can't really. And they're like, what does it look like? And the orc is like, well, maybe another island. Like, I can't tell. It's just a speck, but like more to come soon. Like, and they're just like, please don't let it be an island.
After that last one, let's just try to not.
But after a little bit, the orc is like, oh, like it's an island, but it's huge. Like, it looks like it's a much bigger island. It's almost like a continent. Like,
he sees that further.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
He's like,
that's
I'm
right.
not going to land on this island. I see something else bigger ahead. Let's keep going.
Let's keep going.
They pass over the island. They keep going. Captain Bill is like, this is a good plan. Bigger land means we might actually be able to save ourselves.
Yeah.
So the orc says it's so big it's almost a continent. And he starts wondering, like, maybe it's Orkland. Maybe it's my home, sweet home.
Oh my god, the orc has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, he's like, over the garden wall.
You're obsessed with
that. Twice.
Did I do that already?
Yeah.
It's fall.
It's fall.
So the orc, he's like, it's a place like I've never seen before. This place... It's made up of mountains and deserts and green valleys and queer cities and lakes and rivers. And it's all mixed up in a puzzling way.
And Captain Bill's like, okay, so that's how pretty much everywhere looks. Like, that's what everything looks like. So
he's like, okay, so we're on land.
Yeah, like, he's like, when are we landing? Like, can we land?
Let's get on the land.
And the orca's like, okay, there's a mountaintop over there. Like, I'll just go up there. And they're like, okay, cool, great.
Why are we landing for the mountain peak?
Yeah, that's what I was about
cities?
To say. We're going to have to climb down.
Oh, they're going to climb down. Well, you know what? Actually, that's interesting, because I was just thinking, well, they can see what it looks like and
they
then decide where
view.
To go, but if they eat the berries, he can't carry them away.
Yeah. And they're already in the sky.
Just
no, you know what? Actually, no.
The bottom.
If they go to the top of the mountain, they can all become regular size, look around, and then he can take them one at a time down the mountain. So
they
easy.
Can also land in a field and become regular size and walk to the nearest.
Maybe
mountain.
It's threatening.
There's options. But if I were Captain Bill, I'd be like, I want to see from the mountaintop. Like, I can't see anything now. I want to see.
The orc's claws, once he lands, they can't really reach around his neck and untie the knot that the sunbonnet's tied into because he's, like, funny-shaped. And his elbows probably bend the other way. They've probably been this way instead of this way.
I can't imagine because
down
he never has to
up.
Run. So, like, it doesn't matter.
I just can't do that.
So, finally, the orc is like, yo, I cannot get you out of this bonnet. But he's like got his neck down by the ground, but he's like, I can't help you out, and there's nobody here to help me.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
Oopsie.
So Captain Bill thinks for a minute, and he's like, Trot, can I cut a slit in your bonnet? And she's like, yeah, dude, get us the fuck out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I want to get out.
He pulls out his knife. It has shrunk down to proportionate size to him.
Oh, no.
Beep, 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 so little.
So he's using this to cut through a saw,
like
saw bonnet.
Yeah, like every one of those cotton threads in the bonnet must be like a rope to him.
Yeah.
Oh
so it
gosh.
Takes him a minute, but he gets a hole big enough for him to get out. He like grips a little more, helps Trot out, and they're like, okay, so now we're just gonna eat the berries. Like that's what we have to do. And I don't know if it's here or maybe it was earlier, but they told us that the berries are all about the size of Trot's head.
Yeah. And Trot, they each have to eat their own. And Trot's like, I am not hungry enough for this. but they
Too
go
bad.
At it. They go bite, bite, bite. And the berries taste so good. It gets a little easier to do because it tastes so good. They start growing instantaneously. But they are getting bigger and bigger. They're growing more and more to their normal size. As they get bigger, the fruit's like this big.
Yeah, yeah. At some point, it's small, and they're like, okay, now it's like less than a bite. And then they're big. And Captain Bill is like, thank God I was worried that, A, these things wouldn't work on humans, which he knew they worked on
the
Pessim. Yeah, so actually, I don't know why he thought that. But his more valid concern was that the magic wouldn't work anywhere other than the island.
Valid.
Which I'm
which
like, maybe
they
should have fucking tested it there. I mean, either way,
good
you know.
Point.
But whatever.
Well,
like,
I guess if they tested it there,
it wouldn't have mattered.
They wouldn't have known still.
Yeah.
It's not somewhere else.
Oh, they
would know it worked on humans, but
right.
not if it worked elsewhere.
You're right. You're right. You're
yeah.
right.
So Captain Bill and Trot, yeah, very relieved that the berries worked. And they realized, like, they'd taken six of the berries, and Trot asked Captain Bill, she's like, what should we do with the other four? And Captain Bill, he's not sure if they'll be of any use or if the berries have a different effect to someone who hasn't eaten the lavender berries. Because, like, yeah, later, could Trot eat one of these and become enormous?
Something I was thinking was, couldn't the, my God, not the Gump, Jesus. Couldn't the orc have eaten a dark purple berry to become giant and then taken the humans
regular
at
size?
Their normal size? Like, I mean, none of this makes
more
or less
sense.
We
didn't run any tests. We didn't
but
run
yeah,
any
I'm
tests.
Just, I would have done things a little differently, but I live in 2024, so I don't want to say that.
Captain Bill, he's like, let's just keep them. He throws one of them away because it got crushed on the journey, so now they have four. Right? Four? Three. They have three left.
Yes.
Okay. So Captain Bill takes a small wooden box out of his sou'wester. It's full of different size nails. He just dumps the nails loose in his pocket, puts the berries in the wooden box, snap shut, back in my pocket.
Okay.
So we've got the three berries. With the berries put away safely, they're free to look around and explore this strange island that the orc landed them on.
And they are about to. At the end of chapter 6, The Flight of the Midgets. And
we'll
Blake.
Tell you what happened next time. I'm so sorry.
And Blake, what would you call that?
a berry short flight.
Oh, I like berry. The berries.
Thank you for listening to Oz Hour. Please join us next time as we continue with Chapter 7, The Bumpy Man. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swingham. Co-hosted by Hannah Aguirre. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Rudy Klobus. Cover art by Valentin Lucas.